Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 104.1.
Exactly 5 minutes past the hour. We started a conversation yesterday with a lifelong friend, Rich Helfand, executive director of Lucy the Elephant. And we were talking about the great work that's happening right now. There's a wonderful committee in Margate, Friends of Margate. It's a relevant committee. They're in favor of rebuilding the Margate Boardwalk. So am I. As I've been mentioning, though, for the past several days, we've been covering this issue for 27 years on this program. And there have been many committees that have come and they have gone. I believe that past is not always prologue, because the reason it never happened before, the committees were basically shut down before they could even get their first breath of oxygen, because they would just be shut down either by city fathers not having any interest, and in fact, maybe even ardent opposition to it, or everybody just being told, you know, just stop it. It's a fool's errand. There's no way that we have tens of millions of dollars to do something like this. I even have a list of additional questions because of yesterday's discussion. Some of them, I think, really good points that I want to pose to Rich Helfand. I want to tip my cap to Glenn Klotz, who I don't know, but I know of, founder and president of the group that is taking this task on. And I would say, let the wind be at your back. Much like the committees and the initial people that got involved, Senator Chris Brown, this program and some others, when we were told by everybody, shut up, it's inevitable, there'll be gaming in North Jersey, just shut up. We want to beg and get on our knees and beg for the best deal that we can get. Don't try to fight this. Well, we didn't listen to them. And I really believe that there is a perfect storm here. I'll tell you one thing that I wish somebody would have thought of. I didn't. And I don't hold anybody responsible for not thinking of it. In fact, I hold everybody harmless, because it was a very, very challenging time when the city group, Vaughn Real and all the people that were involved with really fighting those dunes and getting bigfooted by the state big time. Even when they won, they lost. It was just incredible. But what a negotiating tactic it may have been to say, look, these dunes are hideous. They're going to block our senior citizens and our disabled from even being able to get onto the beach, sign on board with a boardwalk financed by the state and by whatever. ADA, as Rich and I talked about yesterday, and grants from the state and any other way that it could be funded. What a great way that would have been. Now, of course, we know, anybody that's willing to embrace the truth, that the flooding problem in Margate is a bulkhead issue. It's a Back Bay issue. We've always long maintained that. I don't even know. We've had probably 100-plus hours with just Mayor Vaughn Real on the topic of the bulkheads in Margate. By the way, still a problem. A local member of the media is working on it right now that I know. But tip of the cap to Glenn, to the committee, and the great work that they're doing. I always believe that anything that Rich is involved with is worth being involved with, because he doesn't waste his time. He's a busy person, so he doesn't have time to waste his time. And when Rich is a spokesperson for a cause, it's always a good bet. And I think this, if ever this could happen, we're in a good economy, great economy, actually. There's a better story than has ever able to be told on this topic. And let's continue a great conversation that started yesterday with Rich, who joins us now. Hey, Rich, thanks for giving me the quick preamble there. And I have some new questions for you as a result of what we talked about yesterday. You ready?
Absolutely, Harry. Happy to be back. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. And this was a good point brought up by former Assemblyman Kirk Conover in the 6 o'clock hour, that did Margate retain the right-of-way, the easement, in order to just, could Margate, if this was something that the city wanted to do, and if you got a great grant writer like this guy, Jim Rotella, I want to talk about Jim Rotella a little bit later in the program with you, Rich. He's a phenomenal grant writer. And if this was able to be done, in other words, if the financing was secured, does the city have the right to just put up a boardwalk, or is this DEP hell, or easements that no longer exist? Do you guys know the answer to that as a committee?
It's a very good question, Harry, and I feel competent to answer the question because I had a conversation with Commissioner John Amedeo about a month ago on the topic, and he told me that because the Army Corps and the EPA and the DEP and all those organizations had pretty much taken eminent domain and taken all of those riparian rights along the beachfront to, in fact, build the dunes, that they're the ones who they would have to go to get the permission to build the boardwalk. And he told me that in conversation that he had with those agencies, they said they would green light it. They would wholeheartedly support it, and they would present no opposition and no obstacles to proceed with the boardwalk.
What a huge point, and I'm so happy that you were in a position to answer that, because obviously if we didn't know the answer to that, get all excited about a potential that isn't there, or if it would have been received adversarially, either bad feelings from past fights. Of course, it's different people now to some extent, although some of the career people never change. But that's an important point, because we'd go nowhere if
the verbiage that he used was it is a permitted use for the boardwalk.
Beautiful.
I think that's a huge plus in favor of moving forward with the boardwalk.
Rich, here's another thing we talked about, and I don't think this is lost on you because you get this. But I wonder how many people realize that having a boardwalk back in Margate, that's an official street. For example, in Atlantic City, it always was, and I guess any administration could change the game. But they cleared the boardwalk because for emergency vehicles, it's a street. And that's another intangible that must be considered about the value of either having to move people or to move public safety vehicles and things that can save lives. So I want to bring the street nature into this if your committee hasn't focused on that.
That's a good point, and I will certainly bring that to Glenn's attention. And I know you're correct, because the Atlantic City Boardwalk and the Ventnor Boardwalk are on the map as streets. And you know what, Harry? It may very well be that the boardwalk in Margate is still listed on the official map as a paper street, because it was there in the beginning. So it's possible it could still be there.
So if you think about it, I mean, as this is pitched, when you can say there's a legitimate, it's not bogus, that there's a legitimate Americans with Disabilities Act issue, that it would be a street that would be vital in terms of the public safety. Obviously, we won't bury the lead. It is a wonderful amenity, and I still believe it can be monetized in many creative ways that does not change the character of Margate. And I'm starting to come to the conclusion that this is the most doable era yet since this boardwalk was finally demolished in the 40s, and then again finally in 1962, March Storm. I think you got a good shot here, Rich.
I do. And you know, Harry, I'm happy to tell you that last night I was at a party with Mayor Guardian, and he told me that, in his opinion, there is federal money out there. In fact, as you know, he was successful in getting the $5 million to complete the boardwalk on Main Avenue, and he said there is today federal money for boardwalks in Washington. And you mentioned Jim Rotella. He is an awesome grant writer and a great guy and an advocate for what's good.
Yep.
I think you're right.
For those who don't know, former BA, so he really gets it. He's run a city at the operation manager's level, and he is, I understand, to be the best grant writer for this kind of thing. And you start to overcome objections. I'm left with only really two objections that I can possibly think of. Number one would be if you owned a home on the beach front, and you didn't want a boardwalk in front of your home. But I still think it would raise your value and raise the value of the whole beach block and the whole city. And there was a second one I can't think of at the moment. There aren't really many reasons. There was a legitimate. The second one was if you were just someone that didn't see a return on investment and thought that the outlay of $30 million, $40 million, whatever it will be, and that you were just opposed to that at just a pure financial level, and you even probably have the opinion, hey, it would be nice, but we can't afford it. So I could see that. That's a debate I would have with someone to say, well, what about this? What about that? What about increasing the value of your community? If you increase the rateable base in your community by 50 million because you spent 30 or 35 or 40 million, that's not a bad thing, Rich.
You know what, Harry? Anybody that's opposed to it is opposed to it, in my opinion, for selfish reasons. And it is a win-win with no tangible downside. And it will, it absolutely will, as you just said, it will raise property values, not only for the beachfront, but for the entire town of Margate. It will raise property values. So if somebody has a home that's worth $500,000, it may be worth $550,000 or $600,000 after the boardwalk is built.
Do you know an answer to the following, Rich? Have the mayor and two commissioners made a decision on if they will put a question on the ballot to take the temperature? I think it would be great. Shame it should be on the November ballot because you'd have a pretty nice sampling with obviously the midterm election and all that. You'd have a Senate seat. You'd have the congressional, the House of Representatives, second district seat. You'd have all the county seats, some of the freeholder positions, and then right down to the local level in some of the communities. Be a great election to have it on the ballot because I think the turnout is going to be a pretty decent turnout for this election. Have they made a decision if they will allow the people in Margate to vote whether they want a boardwalk?
I don't know the answer to that question yet, Harry. I will tell you this. The committee, the boardwalk committee, is targeting the municipal election in May to have it appear on the ballot. Ooh. Not the general election in November.
Wow, that, you know what? In a way, that's even smarter. It's better. Although I think sometimes people would resist having something that either could cost them their seat or complicate their run for re-election. But here's another thing, too. You citizens, I did it. I wanted something on the ballot. I'm 1-0 at doing this. I lost the question, but my only desire was to get it on the ballot, so I didn't lose. And I got it on the ballot. I was fought tooth and nail. They would not put it on the ballot, not Margate City, Ventnor City. And citizens, if they don't know it or not, I know you know it, Rich, have the right to propose your own ordinance. Citizens can create their own ordinances, and they can order questions to be on the ballot. You could make sure that question's on the ballot. You might not get the May nonpartisan election because they might convince the clerk, or the clerk might feel it's best in his or her interest to not do it at that, and they might order a special election, say, oh, they're costing the taxpayers money. They would be costing it, but they would blame you. But I don't want to make this adversarial because I'm not even sure. I haven't talked to Amadeo. I haven't talked to Becker. Is Blumberg still the third?
Yes.
Okay. And he's a good guy. I don't know why they would be against this unless people that don't even live in Margate, that have property in Margate or big money on the beachfront side. I mean, I could think of reasons why you would choose the few and not the many, but I'll use the Spock quote from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one.
Yep. So let me just bring you up to speed on a couple other things.
Yeah.
First of all, you had mentioned yesterday your disappointment in the governing body not being there on Sunday. And I can tell you that Glenn Klotz, again, the president of the Boardwalk Committee, shared with me yesterday that the reason Mari Blumberg was not there was he was in upstate New York taking his two daughters off to college.
Totally understandable, but I do want to make clear because I don't want anybody listening now to have the wrong impression. Simultaneous to saying that I wish one of the city fathers would have been there, I said it could have been that they just couldn't make it. And I rightly said and quickly said I wanted to be there and I couldn't make it due to an obligation. So I want to make it clear, and I don't feel like you're throwing me under the bus or anything, but I mentioned my disappointment that they weren't there, wishing they were there, but left open that there could be very good reasons, such as they just weren't available and had a conflict that one particular evening. So Good stuff there.
I just wanted to let you know and your listeners know that's why Commissioner Blumberg wasn't there. I do believe he is in favor of the boardwalk. I'm not speaking for him because I haven't talked to him on this matter, but I believe from what I've been hearing that he is in favor of it. The other thing that I wanted to share with you that is paramount to the boardwalk committee, they not only want to hear what the voters of Margate have to say, but they also want to take the temperature of the taxpayers. They want the city to do a survey with everyone that has a vested interest in Margate to get their to take their temperature on whether they want to see it or not. Because the committee will only go forward if it's the will of the people. If it's not, they're not going to go forward. They want to do it if the majority of Margate wants it.
So what's cool about that is have a ballot question, let the people be heard. That would be the people that live full-time and or at least 6 months and one day out of the year, and they vote out of Margate. And then you poll your property tax payers that are non-residents, and then you could listen. You could wind up with. I'll tell you how I think that would turn out. Just a hunch. If you don't live in Margate but you own property in Margate, I would think the majority of those would be against it, and for different reasons. Some selfishly because they don't want a boardwalk in front of their wonderful beachfront property, although I would think you'd want to go take a look in Ventnor and elsewhere around the state and around anywhere where there are boardwalks. Your property is more desirable, I believe, when you have a ramp leading right to the boardwalk from your home. So that blows my mind because it's not like people aren't on the beach and can't walk right where the boardwalk would be anyhow. I don't understand that, but I know that there are people that are against it. And then there would be people that just would think my taxes are going to go up and I don't even live there. I go once in a while, so I don't need the boardwalk. So my guess would be the referendum would be that the citizens would vote to want a boardwalk. And again, that would have to be a campaign wage because there would probably be people that would come out and say how much it's going to cost and then the maintenance of it forever and go on and on. And we lost it in 44 and we lost it in 62. And why are we going back, you know, backwards? I don't agree with that, by the way, but I could run a very effective campaign against this. And then I think the people that own and don't live there would vote against it. So I think, what if you have a split decision, Rich?
Harry, I respectfully disagree with your opinion. I think that the people who have a vested interest in Margate, who are the taxpayers, maybe other than the few who live in the beach block, will overwhelmingly want it. It enhances the value of their property.
So you believe the referendum would be won and that the poll of the property taxpayers of Margate who don't vote, that they would vote in favor of it too?
I do.
Listen. That'd be great. Just humor my point, though. What if you have a split decision?
Well, ultimately, I believe, according to the law, it's going to be the will of the voters.
Correct.
Because the taxpayers don't have a legal say. Only the voters do. But I think, you know, based on the success of the Boardwalk Committee and the way they can educate the taxpayers and the public at large of what it's going to cost, where it's going to be, how it's going to look, where the money's going to come from, I believe you're going to have an overwhelming yes that let's rebuild the boardwalk in Margate.
And then how doable is it in terms of procuring the financing, in your opinion?
Well, I'm very encouraged. As you know, Margate has a AAA bond rating. So finding money is not going to be hard. I believe Jim Rotella is the best in the business at grant writing. And as Mayor Guardian assured me last night, there's federal money out there for boardwalks. And he got it a couple years ago for Atlantic City.
$5 million.
Yeah, that's a big chunk.
Of course.
So, and I believe, again, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I believe he would be willing to offer guidance to the Boardwalk Committee on how to go about finding this money.
Would it be nice? It doesn't seem like anybody other than Mari Blumberg has even whispered an opinion on this. I would think it would be nice to have enthusiastic support from Mike Becker and from John Amadeo.
I think that the mayor and commissioners will will join in if it's the will of the people. After all, the people elected them. I think they're going to do what they feel the people of Margate want. At least I hope that would be the case.
There's somebody that would like to speak. I don't know who it is. Do you want to take a call?
Sure.
Welcome to the program. You're on the air with Rich Helfand. I'm Hurley in the Morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, this is Glenn Klotz. I'm the director of the Margate Boardwalk Committee.
Have you been listening, Glenn?
I have.
Okay, so
yeah,
you know,
I have been.
We've mentioned you and we've shown respect to you and your committee. What are your thoughts?
Well, I tend to agree with what Rich has just said, okay? Pretty much everything he said. I think that, you know, if this is put to the voters and, you know, we would like to do it probably next spring. There's really no time to do it now for the fall. You know, that gives the community the time to debate it and for everything to come out, all the different facts about it. Okay, we'll be presenting our case. The other side will present their case. And then, you know.
And Glenn, that would coincide with the municipal election?
You know, that's a possibility. Of course, we both know, as you mentioned, it could also be done in a special election.
Right.
So that's a decision that hasn't been made. I will say this. Okay,
and by the way, you really don't have a say on that because the clerk does. But there are certain things that have to be put on within a certain time frame. So you could. I'm not coaching. I'm just because I've done a lot of this in the past 27, 30 years. You could almost time the submission of your petition if you had to go that route. I would think the easiest way to do this would be for Mike and John and Mari to not make the citizens have to hoof all over Margate and have petition signed. But guess what? I did it, and actually I enjoyed doing it in our committee because you actually got to talk to people about what it is. And signing the petition didn't mean they were promising they were going to vote for it, but most times it was people who were favorably predisposed to vote for it. And so if the city fathers, and I'm not being adversarial because they're all friends of mine. I don't have a bad feeling about any of the three. And I might be one of the few because they were hand, you know, separate tickets and stuff. But if they won't put it on the ballot, you can put it on the ballot and you can put it on the ballot at a time of your choosing, basically.
Well, let me say this, okay? Our committee sat down with the three commissioners, and we've discussed just that issue, okay? I'm not going to mention names here, but I'll say this. Two of the commissioners basically indicated that that's something they would be interested in doing. Now, they didn't commit to that, okay? I don't want to say they did, but two of them did indicate that you know, at some point here in the future they might be open to putting it on the ballot.
Well, Glenn, well, you know what's good about that is they're basically offering nothing. It's like, hey, thanks for like nothing, because we can put it on the ballot even without you. But they should want to put it on the ballot whether they're for it or they're against it, to see what Margate has to say. What if you did this whole thing and you ran a campaign and 80% of Margate came out and voted, we don't want it? Well, then guess what? That tells you they don't want it. If you run this campaign of education, I don't mean a political campaign, an educational campaign, and more than 50%, and the higher the better, do want it, that's very instructive for the commission. So they should, that's like thanks for nothing, because they would want to know, I would think. Because you can't call thousands of people. Hey, it's John. Hey, it's Mike. Hey, it's Mari. We'll each call 2,000 people. Hey, you for this or against? Okay, I got to go. Check. So you have your election. I mean, keep in mind, Margate, you probably have a bad taste in your mouth because Vaughn Reel and another wonderful committee that we gave a lot of airtime to, Mr. President, as in Klotz, won only to get big-footed, squashed, and lost. And the flooding problem is the bulkhead area and not the beach. So it'll be interesting. I would be shocked if they won't put it on the ballot. And keep in mind, I'm not being a wise guy. You're not suggesting any negativity or anything where they probably won't do it. But I would think they would be incentivized, encouraged to do it, because you'd want to know what your residents think on this issue.
Of course. Let me just say something back of what you said with Vaughn. I was on that committee, by the way, okay, with Vaughn and others. And
I didn't know that.
I just want to straighten something out about that, okay? Yeah, in the end, that's true. What you're saying is true. The state came in and they basically stepped on us. But the truth is that we ran two referendums. Our committee ran two referendums, and we won both of them. So,
no doubt.
The community was entirely behind us.
Well, that was my statement. My statement was you won, and you got big-footed and squashed by the state. We're saying the same thing, Glenn. You're just saying it a different way. You guys did a great job. And if I remember correctly, it was a mandate. You crushed it.
Yeah, we did. And the first was a mandate. Second was a little closer. But basically, we won. And then, of course, we know what happened afterwards.
And by the way, I give you a lot of credit because winning the second time, that was in the whole specter. I remember it. We covered it very closely here on this program. That was with the state saying, hey, you're on your own, because the Army Corps of Engineers says if there's a gap in the dunes and you get flooded, you're on your own. You're not going to be helped. So that was still people voting the other way, basically being threatened with the potential for who knows what exorbitant amount of dollars should something adverse had happened. So that's why that was closer, because there was quite a scare campaign there.
Yeah, I mean, the second question, look, I'll be really honest with you, okay? As a taxpayer and a voter in Margate, I remember at one point actually saying to the other side, you know, I even have split feelings about why. Because we knew the governor had already, as you know and you remember, had basically said it didn't matter what we said.
Right.
That he was going to go ahead and do it anyway.
Right.
So the voters in Margate, you know, basically, you know, they knew they were going to lose. And yet, miraculously, they stood up and said, we don't care.
Let's take one quick walk down memory lane, and then we'll get back on the task at hand, which is the boardwalk. You just jogged my memory on so many things, Glenn. And if you're just joining us, it's early in the morning with Glenn Klotz. He is the president. I've seen him called chairman. I've seen him called president of Friends of Margate, a very relevant committee in favor of rebuilding the Margate boardwalk. I am also in favor of this from second one, and I've been in favor of it my entire broadcasting career. And I think this is finally the group that I believe has the stick-to-itiveness and the potential, and also potentially the perfect storm to get it done. Because I think there are a variety of factors in play now, including the accessibility of potentially multiple seven figures where this can actually happen. But one quick walk down memory lane. I so vividly, Glenn, remember, and my relationship was with Vaughn, just like my relationship is with Richie. So it's no disrespect to you, Glenn, and I hope that we can establish a rapport. And I think we are right now. But all these interviews with Vaughn, and he said, Harry, I know they're wrong. It's the back bay. It's a bulkhead issue. We didn't flood this way. We flooded that way. And then Vaughn said, and you, because you had great engineers, you guys did a beautiful job. The skill sets demonstrated were just masterclass. And I remember Vaughn saying, wait till we get a heavy rain. You're not going to believe it. The water's going to pool. It's going to be unbelievable. And everything, Glenn, that your committee said was going to happen, happened.
True.
It's so true. All right, if you guys can hang in there, I've got to get a quick break in. If you want to stay, I'd love to talk to you. If you've got to go, you can just hang up. But I'd like to continue the discussion, because I think this, you guys are really positive about it. There's a really good vibe and energy to this. And it's one of those occasions where I don't think it will be adversarial with a citizens committee running hard at an administration, or doing it because people on the committee are running against them in a year. I just see this as pure and a really good chance to get the result that you're looking for. And we're visiting with Glenn Klotz. He is the founder and the president of Friends of Margate, a relevant committee in the city of Margate. They're in favor of rebuilding the Margate Boardwalk, and they're pursuing a community citizen, if you will, taxpayer education campaign to not only get the word out, but to educate folks with exactly the implications of it. And I guess at some point, somebody's going to have to say what it's going to cost and if it's going to happen, how's it going to be paid for, just like anything that we do in life. And also joining us, Rich Helfand, a good friend for basically 40-plus years, former senior executive at Resorts Casino Hotel when they first opened, and the executive director of entertainment there, and obviously the executive director of Lucy the Elephant for many, many years. Richie, let me get a comment from you. Both your mics are on. I would think that sort of chronologically, being able to pay for it is, I guess, everything. Because if you had the money and then somebody was in the way, then that's a real problem person. And they'll just be bulldozed, I would think, out of the way. But where do you go from here? Where does this stand in your estimation at the present time? And Glenn, if you have a follow-up to that, the time is yours.
Harry, I would think that the Glenn's committee, and they're doing all of their due diligence as they should be, and they're doing it very well. As I said before, there is grant money out there. There is federal Green Acres money. I can put Glenn, and I'm happy to put Glenn in touch with Mayor Guardian to find out what steps you need to take and who you need to speak to in the Washington level. Jim Rutella, as we've talked about, is probably the best grant writer in the business, and he's on salary with Margate or on retainer with Margate. He writes their grants, so he's an excellent resource. There's state money for public parks and Green Acres. And Margate, as you know, has a AAA bond rating. So there are so many vehicles out there where the funding can come from. And I don't believe...
Hey guys, let me jump in, Rich and Glenn. How do you frame the question? Are you in favor of a boardwalk that would be partially funded by Green Acres, partially funded by federal ADA, partially funded by a state of New Jersey grant, whatever the name of the one the city of Atlantic City got, partially by bonding, a small tax increase? I mean, I guess to get an accurate answer of who's in favor of it, they have to know what the implications are, right? It can't just be. Would you like to rebuild the Margate Boardwalk? Thank you. Love, committee.
Oh, yeah, I agree. No, it can't just be that. That would be disingenuous,
right?
Of course.
And then you hate those ones that have an interpretive statement that's longer than the question and looks shiesty. So I think that there's a lift to do here, and a list to do here, but it's not unmanageable. It's just a matter of finding out how you can fund it, and I think you have a great narrative. You have a great story to tell in your community.
Well, I agree. There is a lift there. We are working on that diligently. That's why we got together, okay? And, you know, we will have answers for all that. One of the things that we will probably endeavor to do, because, you know, when you start to talk about cost, Harry, one of the problems is you have to know cost for what.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are endeavoring to get a focus on what our committee is going to propose to build, okay? And so we're going to get basically professional advice from civil engineers and so on, and try to actually get a picture, you know, maybe even a graphic of what we're proposing. So you know, people have an idea of that. And then from that, you can develop actual ballpark figures for what it's going to cost. Right now, the numbers are all over the place because nobody knows exactly what it's going to be. You
exactly.
know, and if you have to have dimensions.
Right. You need dimensions. You need to pick what type of wood. Are you going with that really expensive wood that actually needs to be drilled, that can't be screwed down, but it lasts so much longer? I mean, I know everything Margate does, it does right. So I think in terms of when you engineer it and come up with exactly what it's going to be and all that, then you'll know what it's going to cost. The other thing that I think is very important is having a good story to tell, and I think you do, you clearly do, in terms of why having a boardwalk in Margate is important. Why is it advantageous? Why is it more than just a... after, you know, an overkill or amenity that's not essential? I think the story of why a boardwalk is important, and I think no small part of that, Glenn and Richie, and Richie and I talked about it yesterday, Glenn, is getting the bikes off that bike path on the street and during whatever hours the city designates for the bicycle riding, get it up there on the boardwalk. Much safer, much better place to ride. And that's just one item right there. And there's all these other things, ADA and all these other things. I just think you have a great story to tell.
Can I back up to one that you spoke about before I came on?
Because yes, sir.
I think it's a really important one that you brought up. And
yep.
We have spoke about it and talked about it in the committee. And that is the fact that a boardwalk allows access for two things. For much better security, because you can put bicycle patrols, police, you can put police cars out on it into the middle of the board, in the boardwalk, into the middle of the beach, like in Ventnor in Atlantic City. You can also put emergency vehicles. This is going to save lives. That's a fact, okay? If you can get an emergency vehicle out into the middle of the beach, okay, to someone, minutes, believe me, I know, because I was in that situation, will save lives.
And think about it. Sometimes when you have the most snow, for example, you have nowhere to put the snow. I mean, there have been towns that have to rent, truck it to places. Here, you could run the plows down the boardwalk. You can open up your public safety lane for emergency vehicles. That snow, who cares? It gets pushed off to each side of the railings, and it falls onto the beach, and it falls onto the other side, and then you have a safe street that's actually accessible. And Glenn, I think that is one of your most important points to justify having the boardwalk.
I think it's an important one, but it's just one. We have a long list. Basically, I think, and we believe this, that a boardwalk being built, it can't just be about amenities, okay? We think it's necessary, okay, at this point, okay? Now, I'll say this. I didn't think it was necessary when we had our old beach plan, and I wouldn't have recommended it.
By the way, there's a rather large pachyderm that's calling the executive director. Richie, let me give you a closing comment, and if Glenn wants to stay, we'll finish up with Glenn.
Harry, I just want to, again, thank you and your listeners for jumping on the bandwagon in support of this project. I think I said this at the rally, it's the most important thing Margate has done since saving Lucy from the wrecking ball. And the Save Lucy Committee is 100% committed to helping Glenn and his committee in any and every way that we can to make this reality.
And by the way, all the big money was on the fact that Lucy was done. Lucy couldn't be saved, right, Rich?
Yep, and you know what? If not for Josephine Herron and Sylvia and Ed Carpenter, Lucy wouldn't be here. So a small group can make a tremendous difference that changes the absolute complexion of an entire town. And Lucy has done that, and the boardwalk will take the next step in doing that again. Harry, just one final thought. This costs money. Everything costs money, and Glenn's committee is going to need money to continue their fight. And we developed a T-shirt. It says it's a picture of Lucy in the boardwalk with a couple holding hands walking down the boardwalk, some seagulls. It's a really cool T-shirt. It's available on Lucy's website, and the proceeds of that shirt are being split between the Save Lucy Committee and the Boardwalk Committee. It's lucytheelephant.org. The shirt is there. It's an awesome collectible and a great way to help.
And if you want to come to Lucy, you can buy it at Lucy as well?
Absolutely. They're available in the gift shop as well.
Good stuff, Rich. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Harry. Glenn, I'll talk to you soon. Good luck.
Okay. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you, Rich.
Thanks. Hey, Glenn, let's bring in one other view. I don't know who it is, but it's obviously somebody that wants to speak on this topic. You're on the air with Glenn. I'm Harry, and we're talking about the potential for Margate to have a boardwalk again. You're on the air.
Hey, Harry. It's Eric. How you doing?
Eric, doing very well.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Glenn. How you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
Maybe you get an idea how much it would cost. How long was the section Guardian replaced in Atlantic City, and how much was the total money that they spent with that?
Well, I don't have the exact numbers, okay? I'll just give you numbers I've heard, okay? I think it's, if I'm right, it's something like 1,600 feet, somewhere in that range, maybe a few more feet than that. I've heard, the number that I heard was that it cost $8.5 million complete it, but don't quote me on that.
And what I'll do, Eric, it's a very fair question because obviously it's a brand new project, and that's what today the going rate was, and so on. I will I'll text Don Guardian. I will get those numbers to you. Okay, Eric.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering, was it a quarter mile? Because Margate, what's Margate, around a mile long?
Well, Kirk and I estimated today it was somewhere between a half a mile and three quarters of a mile. He's ridden it actually on his bicycle. But I'll get Don Guardian is like a human computer. He'll remember exactly how long it is, how wide it is, and how much it cost.
Now, let me say something about that piece of boardwalk. I was on it, okay, just recently.
Yeah.
All right, that boardwalk that was built there, okay, is really not. It's not an apples for apples thing with what we would do in Margate. That boardwalk there is built up on huge concrete pylons, okay, because of where it is, okay? It's going to be exposed directly to the ocean in the inlet, even with the seawall in front of it. So the engineers built that so it's completely almost impervious to the ocean behind.
Glenn, you're talking about similar to Ventnor construction with one lane each way, railings on each side?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to probably propose something actually to some degree closer to the original Margate boardwalk, which was 25 feet wide. And the reason for that, okay, it's kind of more like the new Belmar boardwalk, that it would then be able to have a bike lane.
That's okay? Nice. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you're welcome, Eric. We'll get you numbers on that. We'll get you the exact numbers. But I agree with Glenn completely. Don't gauge that, because if we said it was a half a mile or three quarters of a mile or 1600 feet, as Glenn is guesstimating, it's not the same comparison. And I think that's only fair. You're on the air with Glenn. I'm Harry. Go right ahead.
Because of the construction.
Yeah.
It's different. It's a different level of construction.
Exactly. Completely different.
Yeah.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes. Good morning, Harry. Tom from the inlet. I think it's a great idea for Margate to consider and hopefully get a boardwalk down there. And, of course, the one they put in the inlet down here that they built looks absolutely fantastic. Margate wouldn't need anything that big. But people in Margate should come down and look at what they did in Atlantic City. State-of-the-art. Harry, I'm right there. And you know, looking at that every day.
Glenn did go down there, so at least you have the leader.
Yeah, it's fabulous. I mean, the amount of people, visitors, locals that are on that boardwalk, it enhanced the whole area.
And here's the thing I pointed out this morning. We did some coverage on this before Glenn's arrival and Richie's. You can't imagine Atlantic City without a boardwalk. I grew up both in Atlantic City and in Ventnor. I couldn't imagine Ventnor without a boardwalk. And my whole lifetime, I was 2 years old when the March storm hit of 62. And it was always strange to me to see the end of the boardwalk. It's like the world is flat or something. What's going on here? And there's a railing going the wrong way to close it off. And Margate doesn't have one because people decided that, well, part of it was gone in 1944 and the rest of it's gone in 1962. And we're just not going to rebuild it. And I never thought that was the right decision. I mean, you understand on a barrier island, you're going to have catastrophic storms every several decades. It's just going to happen. But Atlantic City always rebuilt. I can't remember if Ventnor had to completely rebuild. I remember the Atlantic City boardwalk, parts of it were floating down towards the down beach in 62. So they didn't rebuild. It's now gone on for several generations. And now you have a group of community leaders that feel that it's time to address that. And I think they should. And at people in Ventnor and in Ocean City and in Atlantic City, can you imagine being in a seashore town and your boardwalk is just gone? I just think that it's anathema with the concept of the beach and the ocean. It just belongs there. And hopefully this is the group that's going to help get it done.
For Margate, Harry, in my opinion, and I believe the property values will go up. And people of Margate, like I said, should come down here and see what Mayor Guardian did in Atlantic City with this new boardwalk.
And by the way, that's another thing. I can't prove it, and maybe Glenn knows this. I don't know it, but I feel it in my bones, and I'm a former finance guy. I'm not stupid. I believe it would increase the value of every home in Margate and not just homes on the ocean front itself and on the beach block. I believe every home in Margate would actually appreciate and value if you had a boardwalk that went from Fredericksburg all the way through to the end of Margate, down towards the beginning of Longport. I just think it would increase values. Glenn, I still think it's worth doing, even if that's not the case, but have you done any work on that topic?
You know, I can't say that. I'm not going to warrant that because I don't know. Okay, we are, again, this is one of the things that we're endeavoring to do. I do know, and this is just something that, again, I've heard, that towns with boardwalks tend to have higher property values. Okay, not all. I mean, you know, some of the urban towns are an example maybe of the opposite, but it's not, you know, if the values are less, it's not because of the boardwalk.
Right.
But all the other towns, okay, that we've so far looked at, where they have boardwalks, you know, values tend to be higher than surrounding communities. So there is some, you know, information out there that points to that. I'm not going to say that's an absolute fact,
right?
Because I can't warrant that.
Okay? And I haven't said it is either, but I think it stands to reason. Let's put it this way: it's not going to depreciate anybody's home value.
No, I don't believe that. Okay, and let me say this: I wouldn't do that because my family owns a beachfront property.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hurt my own family, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't live on the beach. I don't want anybody to think I do. But I have a foot in both camps that way.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't do anything to hurt my own family. And I don't think, you know, people have to understand. I think there is a misunderstanding about the route, and I want to clear that up. I've had people, okay, actually even one of the commissioners, get it wrong and thought that we were proposing to put this boardwalk along the bulkhead, which in Margate would be crazy, okay, because the bulkhead is zigzags all over the place, okay? So we're not proposing that. We are proposing a route, essentially like Ventnor's route. It would basically hug the back of the berm, the dune, okay? And therefore, Harry, most of it, over 90% of it, is going to be out on the beach. It's not going to be directly in front of people's homes. There's a couple places in Margate where it will have to come in closer to the bulkhead, but that's because of the way the beach is and the way the Army has constructed the project, okay? And you know, if we got permitting from this, because we have to get people have to understand, we have to get the permitting from CAFRA, okay? We have to get permitting probably from the federal government, too, because it's an Army project, okay? So for all that to happen, we're going to have to give in, you know, the engineering studies, everything. Environmental studies will have to be done. And, you know, we're hoping at that point there'll be hopefully some adjustments made here and there in the project template. We can't guarantee anything. We're not. But this is, you know, if the city approves, the voters approve, okay, and the taxpayers are on board and everybody's, you know, thinking in the same direction, and that's something probably that we will be talking to the state about. And
Glenn, we've got about a little over a minute. I've appreciated the opportunity to interview you, and I think you're a really outstanding leader and spokesperson for your cause. What are the next steps in about a minute? I know it's tough. In a minute or a minute and a half, what do you do next?
Okay, so what we plan to do is some of the things I talked about. Okay, we're looking towards getting a focus on possibly getting a civil engineer to help us actually draw up a proposed boardwalk so that everybody can see what we're talking about. We think that's important. Okay, so that's the next step.
That's good.
Another one is we're trying to decide whether or not to take this to do our own petition and go out and walk the town and get people to sign. So we're talking, that's under discussion, okay? So these are basically our next steps, okay? And that's what we're talking about and we're thinking about. We need to go out there. We're an educational group. We're going to be a 501(c) soon. We basically are going to go out and try to educate the public. And to do that, we have to have all the facts. And so we're gathering them. That's what we're in. We're in a gathering phase right now of facts to present to public.
Glenn, I've enjoyed our conversation. I wish you well. And anytime you want to get the good word out, keep in touch.
I will. Thanks, Harry. We'll be back on, and I'll be back on. I know Rich will, and we'll give you updates as things go along.
Look forward to it. Be well.
Thank you, sir.
Good wishes. Thank you. Glenn Klotz, president, founder of the Friends of Margate. And I just feel like this could be the time. I'm going to be honest with you. For 27 years, I've tracked this issue, and I never felt like it had much of a chance before. But this is the first time I feel like this can actually happen. Any permits that they would need, you're going to get. It's never fun, but you'll get them, and you'll have the right people, and hopefully the blessing of the city fathers to be behind it, and you'll engineer it, and it'll all happen. Secondly, can you fund it? Anytime I ever look at something that I want to do, is it doable? Can it be funded? And then what do you need to do? And this one, I say, is very doable, but it is complex because I don't see if it's a $40 million project. I'm just throwing out that number because if you think it's going to be 30, it's going to be a little bit more. It wouldn't be one funding source. So then it would be this grant, this ADA thing, the thing that Don Guardian did. If you bring this guy, Jim Rotella, on, which you would be, I think, well served to do that. Former BA, phenomenal grant writer that delivers results. I always say this, a good grant writer is worth everything. I don't know Jim's situation, so I'm not going to speak about him, but typical grant writer, I won't say typical, in certain settings, you hire a grant writer, they don't cost you anything unless they succeed. And that's how they're compensated. That's how you work it. So there's nobody's on the hook. You're not paying an executive that may or may not deliver. And keep in mind, sometimes effort doesn't end in an actual procurement of a grant, but that didn't mean the person didn't try. But typically they understand how it works. They eat when they deliver. Not unlike pay for performance, that everybody gets paid to do a job, to deliver a result. Excellent conversation. I always have expectations going in. I thought it was wonderful. Thrilled that Glenn checked in, and we had an extensive conversation for the first time because he deserves the respect of his position as the founder and the president. I want to thank Mel Taylor because he and I had a good conversation yesterday about the potential for a boardwalk in Margate, and he was very helpful in a number of different areas. And I wish this relevant committee the very best, and we'll do everything that I can here in the People City Hall early in the morning to help get the word out. I really believe this. You have the right people. You have the right vibe. The energy is great. And your cause is just outstanding. So